We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Joe Madden.
The Cubs are just not hitting with runners in scoring position.
It's hard to understand. The groups have gone through it. Other teams have gone through it. I don't have a really great explanation other than we got to keep working at it. It shows up now because, we also need to get Ian right. We need to get Albert right. Like I said, the bottom part of the batting order, we need to get some significant runs out of that group right now. It's primarily 1-5. It's doing most of our damage.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joins us at 9:40. The Cubs president of baseball operations, Theo Epstein, will be our guest at 10. We will take you to the midday midway at 11 for all sorts of fun and games and surprises. Hub Arkish takes your calls on the Bears and the NFL at noon, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Bears Radio After Dark event on September 25th. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer sitting down with Roquan Smith at Carmine's. If you want to go to that, you got to be listening, and you might win the opportunity. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR, The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, because we are streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting and the occasional wayward sext at 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the radio.com app, the rework, reimagined, updated app.
Download it.
That's how you stream The Score on your mobile device. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page and enjoying or experiencing, might be the better word, the Facebook conversation.
It's an experience. There's not so much the enjoying, just it's the experience.
There is Facebook Live, and watch 670thescore.com for our video feed that's directed by Brian Gertz.
Lou.
Producers, yeah, hi. How's it going? Producers, Jay Zawoski.
Spencer Keyboom to right. Did he pop it out of here? See you later. First major league home run for Spencer Keyboom.
Spitting chiclets before he goes deep for the first time. So lose a tooth, go the other way for your first big league tater.
Yeah, there's some truth or videos going around about that with Keyboom's homer. It may have been a tooth. It may not have been a tooth. There's like close-up videos of Keyboom before and where the gap in his tooth actually was and whether or not. So he hits the dinger, right? But apparently he spit something out of his mouth that may or may not have been his tooth. Where are we coming down on, guys? Tooth or no tooth? Are we tooth or no tooth here on the show?
I'm
no
pro tooth. Tooth.
Pro tooth. Pro tooth. Yeah, see, I'm no tooth. Kevin Zipak is no tooth. Dan, you've yet to form an opinion. We're going to sway you one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait. I know you're raising money to fund my opponent.
Yes, tooth or no tooth. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really what this is. It's all a bunch of lobbies and PACs,
right,
put together.
You've crowdfunded it to try to sway my vote on this, because no matter what, you're going to fund my opponent, and I might be drummed out of Maine. On the board is Rick Camp.
Area code 630. Les, have you seen the article posted on CNN that Pluto should still be a planet? I'm not even messing with you. I know you're not, because I know that did happen and I did see it. Did it shock me? No, I've always known that Pluto was a planet. It was the ninth planet of the solar system. And some scientists or alleged scientists, they decided that they were going to demote it as a baby planet. It's no longer good enough to be a planet because of its size and everything else. Well, others apparently disagree with them, too. So that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is.
I think what we're missing in this is there is less believes in a philosophy that we've not really glommed onto yet. The very idea that you can just believe in a planet existing or not existing. See, I hadn't put myself in that situation yet. I no longer believe Jupiter.
Okay.
I no longer believe Jupiter. No. No, I didn't realize that this was something that we just choose to believe. I think Les is on something here.
I like that he referred to it, instead of a dwarf planet, he referred to it as a baby planet.
It'll grow up one day.
Someday.
Someday it'll grow up.
It's just a little baby planet.
It hasn't even made, did you know this? Pluto hasn't even made an orbit since it was discovered. That's how big the orbit is.
That's how far
away
it is.
How long it takes to go around the sun.
There are
planet or no planet.
However, there have been some planets whose existence was based on loci of probability that would allow you to actually believe it or not.
I could go out there and declare myself an astronomer as well.
What?
Is that Adam Harris?
Anybody can just
losing his mind
declare themselves. I am an astronomer.
These guys authority to
what
be a committee to determine all this
about?
Stuff.
Some of the old Adam Less arguments.
A sea anemone
are some of the best back and forth.
Adam just, chill.
Yeah.
Some of that tape.
I believe it was Clayton Kershaw's great uncle that discovered Pluto.
I believe you're right. Mm-hmm. Part of the scientist team. That discovered said planet.
In the back, doing what he does, he is the executioner. He is Ray Diaz.
Hello, Raymond. How are you doing today?
You know what? I'm doing great. I won a lot of money with the Packer win. You know what I mean?
Well, I wish you would have lost from that standpoint.
No, the thing is, you want me to crawl into a rock and go wither somewhere, but no, we won. You know what I mean?
All I know is the result still has me angered.
Oh, no, the thing is that we're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to the Super Bowl. Mr. Who, Big Mac attack, he ain't nothing. I eat Big Macs for lunch.
Who's going to go to the Super Bowl?
Aaron Rodgers, the king of the North.
Hey, Raymond, I got one last thing to tell you.
That was great.
312-644-6767. I have no time for that kind of crap this morning. Or any other morning.
Phone number.
Don't need it. If you want to cheerlead for the team that wears the mustard and relish colored uniforms, go north of Russell Road.
Put him on a hold.
That's awesome.
He's so pissed. He's so mad
awesome.
About that. How dare you?
Oh, that's so good.
Too and, old to be that mad.
And I will, Aaron Rodgers, the king of the north.
And I will respond to Raymond asking three times, do you know what I mean? No.
I do not.
I don't. Thank you for confirming and asking for my confirmation. I have no idea what you mean.
You know what I mean?
No. This segment brought to you by Art of Pizza on State Street. Art of Pizza is celebrating their first anniversary. Stop in for up to 18 varieties of thin, pan, or deep dish. Hot, fresh, ready-to-go pizza slices. Dine-in, carry-out, and delivery available. Art of Pizza, 727 South States.
They've got the meaty delight. You remember that one? It's the bacon and the ground sauce, the whole thing. It's like seven different meats in one of those.
Yes, slices. I have.
Oh,
there's a version that I've had referred to as meaty legend.
Yeah, give you the meat sweats is what it gives you, but worth it.
Yeah,
worth it.
I call those sweats.
Right, or in the case of Rick Camp, that would be sweats.
There are other kinds.
Well,
it's just really continuous.
And now that you have declared that you don't recognize Jupiter.
No, I'm sorry. I'm being very clear here. I don't want you to misconstrue my point. Okay. I don't believe Jupiter.
You don't believe in Jupiter.
No,
you don't
I said what I said. I don't believe Jupiter.
You know
okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's the stance I'm taking.
I understand.
Astronomically speaking.
I understand. Mm-hmm. It's a large ball of gas.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, come at me.
You don't believe the large ball of gas exists with the giant red storm.
I feel like you're taking this out of context. I don't believe Jupiter.
Okay, I don't want to overthink it.
I feel like you're taking this out of context.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will let you and your argument stand for what you believe in.
Thank you.
We do have some football talk coming up. Baseball on the mind early because of the significance of last night's win. You know, remember it was last year Quintana got a sort of big inflection point victory over the Brewers.
He's, you know, as much maligned as he's been by Cubs fans and certain segments of our realm of conversation, what the hell, man? I understand there have been some ugly starts for him. There's been some blowups. He's always been that guy, whether it's been with the Cubs or the White Sox, where a bad start from him, for whatever reason, looks like five runs in one inning on three moonshots, not Jupiter shot, moonshots, and then you're out of the inning kind of deal, you know? But he has won big games. He has been consistent late. He has put together one hell of a five-game stretch lately. And you had to have that game. And there are a lot. who have looked at Jose Quintana and not believed that he had the stones to do something like this. He has done it before. He did it again. There is footage there for you. You know, you can go watch it. You can go watch the tape. You can go find Q being that guy. And I just don't understand how those get completely put aside by a handful of other starts. It's we don't do this with other starters. We don't. And it's crazy to me how quickly we're able to put away some of that tape for some of the other stuff.
Yeah, he mattered.
Other guys don't do that.
And the strike zone was favorable. I do think he got some calls, but pitching to that.
You got to pitch to that.
Pitching to that is part of the job. And knowing once that's established, saying we can do this, we can do that. I thought when he got out of the two on, nobody out jam in the way that he did, that felt to me like he's got this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
To be that invested in the classification of a planet or dwarf planet, to take it that personally, I just wonder, there must be a missing piece to this.
You and I both need something like this in our lives. We've clearly been jaded and put aside some of the more visceral issues in our lives. How about during the break, during one of the breaks, I'm going to randomly pick something that you now have to be that invested on. And you get to pick something that something like free range chickens, or the designation of organic in American food, like something just obscure and nebulous, but something that has to have some expert opinion on one side. We get to pick. Listeners get to pick.
I have a theory. Here is my, in all honesty, here is my Bernstein overthought of the day. Maybe. Look, Les Grobstein, for his entire career, when he was with the Doll Show, he's always been an outsider, always been the butt of the joke, but also kind of in on the joke, been sort of a guy who is a distance from everything else as far as his orbit. I think maybe he identifies with Pluto. Because it's outside of everything that it is a far orbit that maybe it doesn't quite feel it has the status that others have, and that maybe it bothered him with this little last planet, this last rock that is held into this heliocentric system, that maybe he felt a kinship with it, and then when it was downgraded, in a way he felt downgraded. And as it may be re-upgraded, he then feels validation.
I do.
Did you find a way to take the fun out of Les?
If anybody could. But no, that's kind of how I see it. Maybe no, he's just it's there's an underdog kinship.
I feel like both Les and Pluto have been humanized to a point, and by you of all people, and their respective horses.
It's just how I see it. I think if you had to declare, had to plant your flag and declare a kinship with a planet, of course he feels invested in Pluto.
Well, not Mercury. No, Pluto, sure.
Right. Oh, Chachi, sure. But
not Mercury.
And I, of course, I feel a deep, deep kinship with Uranus. And nothing will ever change that. That is.
Rick's hand was hovering over the button for the entire time. Wait. Oh, is he doing a planet thing? Hold on.
Bernstein's going to make a Uranus
joke. It's going to happen. I'm just going to wait for it right here.
Here's some news. Josh Allen is going to start for the Bills against the Chargers. We have reached the benching of Nathan Peterman again.
The only shock is that we didn't reach that benching sooner, right? I mean, did you see the hype video that the Bills put together for Nathan Peterman? You know, the whole thing, it's going to be on the Jumbotron. They're going to play this when the team marches. It was 37 seconds long.
And why does
most of it involved him training?
Eating. Why does
the pouring milk into cereal?
The benching of Nathan Peterman. It's kind of like the defenestration of Prague.
Things we knew were going to happen.
It does sound like, well, we have reached the benching of Nathan Peterman. Sit him or bench him. Wow. They're bad. They're really terrible.
That's money on first coach fired, right?
Yeah.
McDermott?
Right?
That was the other Mick somebody. It was McVay, and I remember him as the other Mick somebody, and soon I'll remember him as McFired.
Well, you know, we as the Micks, we kind of take offense to the Mick somebodies. We'll
all look alike to me.
I know. Just a bunch of MCs running around.
Because it was, McVay was the one, Wunderkind. McVay was thinking, oh, this guy, McVay is really, I mean, why? He knows everything. Everybody's the coach's coach, and everybody thought that this guy, he's just ready. Who's the other guy? Yeah, McDermott, he's fine. He'll be all right.
The Bills hired him.
Bills hire you. It's usually not a good sign.
Meanwhile, last night, as much as Quintana was a gigantic storyline here, there were little things in and out of last night's game, the Cubs against the Brewers, that might have meant something, might not have. But, you know, as we get into Theo Epstein at 10 o'clock and Mike Florio coming up at 9:40, we've got some little things along the way in last night's game we got to kind of break down and get into. There's just a lot of fun.
We were rewatching the first Javier Baez at bat.
Four or five times.
Some strange things going on there. Like, there was time called, and then Baez indicated it might have been the bench that called time, that he didn't necessarily call time. Then he got in a little battle with the pitcher over who knew what and when.
Right.
The catcher's not dropping signs. Zobrist is standing on second.
He's standing on second because Ben Zobrist stole second base. Stole second base. It's a weird game.
There was some Jedi mind trick occurring that Javier Baez knows that these are not the droids you're looking for. The guy we're looking for is Mike Florio. He comes up next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike Florio's at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. He of NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk. Our first conversation with him with a Bears game to discuss, and what a Bears game it was. My contention is it's the most painful regular season outcome that has occurred in my memory, with all of the factors involved. But where does that one rank on your list of what could be referred to as the Aaron Rodgers game that's talked about when he's getting his gold jacket?
Yeah, that's the thing. Bears fans are going to be stuck with this one for a while because it's going to be on the short list of Aaron Rodgers' greatest performances ever. And I always say it's better to get blown out than it is to lose a heartbreaker, because at least if you're blown out, you know it's over and you can, like, do something else, go to bed, read a book, do whatever. And I know it was an exciting game because after working all day, watching games, doing our pregame show, doing some videos after halftime, coming back to the hotel, watching the end of the game, and it's like, hey, I can finally get some sleep, I was wired. I mean, to see something like that, that's what we wait for in a primetime game, because it's always a crapshoot with a primetime game that you're going to get a great, memorable game. And we got one. The problem is, if you're a Bears fan, it's a forgettable game because 20-0 at the half, no Aaron Rodgers. When you first hear Aaron Rodgers is going to play, is that when that sinking feeling starts if you're a Bears fan? Like, oh God, are you serious? Because my thought is, why would you even put him back out there on the field with the way Khalil Mack was wreaking havoc? Well, I see why they would put him back out on the field to win the game on one leg.
Yeah, they've got some miracle drugs in there to hold off some of the pain, too, I would imagine, although many NFL teams have. I guess to a point, Mike, though, we knew Aaron Rodgers was capable of something like this, something miraculous. What did you think of what Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy showed you they were capable of after week one?
Well, look, I was impressed by what we saw from the offense, creativity, effectiveness. And going into a hostile environment, Lambeau Field, the 100th year of Green Bay Packer football, to put the Packers on the ropes the way they did, even before Aaron Rodgers was injured, it was an amazing accomplishment. Now, by the second half, it felt like the Packers defense was starting to figure things out a little bit more, taking some chances out of necessity. And one very key question I had for Chris Sims, and I think that this is a real dynamic. You know, there is so much that's done throughout the course of a game, and particularly at halftime, by way of adjusting to what the other team is doing. What if, when you're up 20-0, there isn't that same urgency in the locker room to take full advantage of whatever the other team is giving you, and it's more of an attitude of, you know what, everything's fine, let's just keep doing what we're doing. And was there a missed opportunity when it was 20-0 to maybe come up with that extra little wrinkle that would have been the dagger that would have made it impossible to come back and win the game? Impossible to know in hindsight, but I think that's a real dynamic, and Sims agreed with me that when everything's going well at halftime, it's not quite that same, okay, what are we going to do to figure out what the other team is doing? It's more of a relaxed, all right, everything is fine type of an atmosphere.
What is fair as far as reasonable expectations for Mitchell Trubisky's performance, particularly when we see Sam Darnold do what he did and Patrick Mahomes do what he did? How does that context change the appropriate standard for judging Trubisky's development?
Well, I think that the more we see other successful young quarterbacks, right, the greater pressure there is on the teams that have young quarterbacks to make them into successful players. And, you know, there's a school of thought out there that maybe all five of the first rounders taken this year are going to work out. It doesn't have to be that half of them are busts. It just kind of works out that way historically. But, you know, maybe the scouting is improving. Maybe the attempts by some NFL coaches to make their offenses look more like what the college players did successfully. That's good coaching. You take a guy and you take what he can do well and you do that, right? No matter how much you have to overhaul your offense, you play to his strengths, you minimize his weaknesses, and that's the way to get the most out of him. So I think it does put more pressure in a good way on the Bears to get more out of Trubisky, especially because they traded up to get Trubisky when they could have stayed there, maybe gotten Trubisky, maybe could have gotten Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they could have traded down to number 9 and gotten Patrick Mahomes. And if Mahomes ends up being the superstar that I think he will be, all the more pressure on the Bears to make Trubisky into a franchise quarterback as well.
John Gruden's Raiders were in primetime on Monday. He, in the pregame show, mentioned that Khalil Mack didn't want to be a part of his team, so he let him go. And postgame, he mentioned he couldn't quite find out. He wanted to find out why his Raiders couldn't get quite the pass rush that they wanted. I found the two things connected. Are there tendrils here? Are there going to be lasting issues for John Gruden, his handling of Khalil Mack, or is he going to be able to, through his sheer force of will and size and stature in the NFL, just kind of move past that?
I mean, it's almost like political attitudes. And you say something strongly enough, even if it's not true, if you act like you believe it, maybe other people will believe it as well. And I'm not trying to make a political statement here. We've just seen that dynamic over the years, maybe a little bit more strongly in recent months. But the idea that even if it's not accurate, if you act like that's what you believe in your core, then people say, oh, okay, he didn't want to be there. Of course he wanted to be there. He just wanted to be paid. And the reasoning that Gruden gave that, well, he's under contract and he didn't show up for the offseason, didn't show up for training camp, he didn't show up for the preseason. Well, under that reasoning, Aaron Donald didn't want to be a Ram. Last time I checked, Aaron Donald is a Ram. I mean, this is about not liking your contract, not liking your team. And Gruden misplayed this by all accounts and appearances by not making Mack a competitive offer in February, by deciding to spend the money that was allocated to Mack on other players, and assuming incorrectly that Mack would show up and collect his checks that would add up to $13.846 million, and then they'd try to sign him next year. He wanted to be there, but he wanted to be paid, and the Raiders didn't want to pay him. And I think, look, you have to accept the fact. I mean, I look at it this way, and we may have talked about this last week. If the Bears are giving this guy $23.5 million, in new money per year and giving up a couple of first-round picks, what would they have paid him on the open market? Probably a lot more than $23.5 million. So it's ludicrous to think the Raiders couldn't have found a way to scrape together $23.5 million of their own to keep that guy around.
What's the latest on Le'Veon Bell?
Well, you know, Bell continues to stay away, and Bell continues to... And it's kind of like an upside-down insurance policy where instead of paying a premium for having the protection against serious injury, he's paying by giving up game checks to not get overused, to preserve his ability to get a huge contract in March. So if that's what he's doing, and we heard enough from his agent last week, I think, to come to the reasonable conclusion that he stayed away from that 855 gross, 450 net, which is, I think, the smarter way to look at it, because he's not getting 855 deposited into his account. He's giving up less than that. He gives that up, avoids walking through the door and getting 30 carries on Sunday like James Conner did, 30 plus total touches, and you avoid that injury that's going to keep you from getting paid. So if you do it 1 week, why are you suddenly going to stop week two, week three? I mean, I think once you lock in and give up a game check in order to avoid being overused, you're going to continue as long as you can. And I know all these, you know, everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to get ahead of the curve. Oh, he may show up in 2 weeks. Oh, he may show up in 3 weeks. I don't know why he would show up before the Tuesday after week 10. Once he skips a game check, the message is, I do not want to be treated like a rental car with free insurance. I am not going to take my game check and put myself at risk of losing that huge signing bonus, huge guaranteed payday that is waiting for me next March.
Do the comments of his teammates, though, change his ability to hold or rejoin that team?
Well, I think that when the time comes for him where he has no choice but to rejoin the team, he'll just suck it up and do it. And by then, we'll be 9 weeks removed from where we are now. I mean, look, a lot of people deal with awkward things, and you're going to have to deal with something awkward if you're Le'Veon Bell walking back into the locker room to get your last 7 weeks of credit so you can become a free agent next year. But yeah, what happened last week was bad, and I think it caused Bell to be more resolute in his willingness to stay away. When you have teammates, multiple teammates coming out and saying what they said, and there's a belief that the Steelers instigated that, but when you have a union rep who's getting between you and your money, I mean, that's a problem. Every union rep out there should have a clear and obvious obligation to always support a player in any fight against management, and to have multiple teammates speak out against Le'Veon Bell. I was stunned by that, and I think that it makes it no surprise now that Bell continues to stay away. And yesterday, the Steelers took him off the online depth chart, and I don't know what that means because he shouldn't have been on it anyway. He's no more employed by the Steelers than any of us at this point, but it sends a message to remove his name, and I think the Steelers realize that they have to be braced for this guy to not show up until week 10.
We spent a lot of time talking about the new rules, whether it was the helmet rule, the contact tackling, or whether the whole burping the quarterback, you can't land on top of him kind of thing. And I think on balance, I was pleasantly surprised by how uninterrupted most of the game flow was. There were a couple of bad calls, a couple of questionable calls, but the targeting stuff, the lowering of the head, that looked kind of obvious. I noticed it. It wasn't like, wait a second, what's happening here? Do you think maybe we need to give the NFL a little bit more credit for getting it more right than we thought early?
Well, they only got it right because of the reaction. Remember, it was 3-4 weeks ago where they had a conference call and they made a big deal of saying we're not changing the rule, and then in the next breath in their statement they explained how they're changing the rule, and they refined it, they focused it, and now the focus is on essentially spearing, which has been illegal for decades. When Earl Campbell put his helmet in the stomach of Isaiah Robertson back in the late 70s and gave us that iconic highlight, that was spearing, but for whatever reason it never got called. Now spearing is getting called, and anytime you go into a guy with that top of your helmet, with that motion, which clearly shows you're using the helmet as a weapon, that's when they're going to throw the flag. Whereas the way the rule's written, it's so much more broad, and we saw it. We saw it. We were getting 1.25 plus penalties per game, and that ratio has dropped dramatically since the NFL didn't change the lowering the helmet rule.
Mike, thanks as always.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. Coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with Theo Epstein. Don't go anywhere. We are Bernstein and McKnight, and this is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.